and has become a clear voice for those who are seeking a return to traditional conservative values. And now, here's Phyllis Schlafly.
State legislatures all over the country are now getting a lot of pressure to adopt so-called pre-K or pre-kindergarten programs. The alleged purpose is to close the gap between kids from high-income and low-income households. But there is no evidence that pre-K can accomplish that. The liberals like to say that pre-K investments, that's the left's code word for taxes, save money later on in education. But every study shows that Head Start and all the early interventions do not achieve what they promise. They fade out at least by the third grade. The Department of Health and Human Services made its own Head Start impact study and concluded that Head Start has little to no effect on the participating children. The principal education goals of the George W. Bush administration were to raise U.S. scores and to close the gap between high-income and low-income students. But the only thing pre-K accomplished was to provide daycare services for single moms, the majority of whom voted for Obama. Head Start was based on the assumption that pre-K could compensate children for the disadvantage of being poor. It's time to face the fact that many children are poor mainly because they do not live in a nuclear family with their own father and mother. We should not invest any more taxpayer money in pie-in-the-sky projects that make adults feel sanctimonious but do no long-term good for the kids. The problem we should address is the decline in marriage. There is no substitute for the enormous advantage to children who grow up in a home with their own mother and father. A better formula for helping kids to achieve in school would be to stop giving out financial handouts that operate as incentives to women who have babies outside of marriage and then turn to Big Brother government for financial support. Pre-K is another anti-marriage incentive.
Yes, the American family is under attack. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, to protect those you love, start by getting your own copy of the new book by Phyllis Schlafly, Who Killed the American Family? Radio listeners can receive an autographed copy at a special discount at eagleforum.org. If we don't respond, who will? Go to eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Come to Finca Bayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair. At bugoutpanama.com.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888 910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Welcome to the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, broadcasting nationwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Righting the Right is your chance to call in and comment on constitutional, conservative, Christian, or capitalist issues. Call in now at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Now here's your host, Patriot Glenn Pav.
Welcome to the third hour of the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, 7 minutes after the hour, drive time, prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We always take a look at the book, and we're going to take a look at the book from Today in the Word, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute, one of my alma maters. Let's play Cut 77 right now.
This is Today in the Word devotional. Here's Mike Kellogg.
Today in the Word, we read Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. A man in a powerful position sees a beautiful young woman who's informed that he wants to sleep with her. It doesn't appear that she has many options. He gets what he wants. The powerful man realizes that an honorable man is about to unwittingly reveal his sins of manipulation and covetousness and sexual misconduct. The powerful man pulls some strings to make the honorable man disappear, and it all looks like an accident. This could be the tale of a mafia don or a drug cartel kingpin or a dishonest politician, but it's the story instead of David, Bathsheba, and Uriah. Often the Psalms don't tell us the circumstances behind the prayers, but Psalm 51 is an exception. David writes his prayer of confession and lament after the prophet Nathan confronted him about his sin. David's lament over sin provides insight into confession. He traces the root of sin to his innermost being. Sin was not simply the choices he made about seducing Bathsheba and having Uriah killed. Sin was the inclination of his heart to do what he wanted, to ignore the pain it caused others, and to disregard God. Much reason for lament.
Well, that's a look at the book this morning, and we should take it to heart, my friends, as we continue on the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, always taking a look at the book as I seek to purpose to take a look at the Word of God, the Bible. It is important. It is impactful. Now, there are two great books that I have been focusing on throughout my broadcasts on the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right. The Word of God, the Bible, the final and only authority for faith and life, and secondly, the Constitution of the United States. We've just delineated the Convention of States information to you in the second hour, and you can go up to the website and download the podcast or listen to it again. I gave you a great summary, hopefully, based on Citizens for Self-Governance, hat tip to them, and the Convention of States program that they put together. And hopefully I've given you a summary of that. You can go to the podcast at writingtheright.com, click on the podcast, and today's date, 10/20, Hour 2, Convention of States, Project Update. There you can learn more about the Constitution, the second most important volume that we need to consider. And in the inbred of that Constitution came through the Christian life and character of people, of the civil institutions of the United States and how they were formed. The last time I was with you on this topic, we talked about the colonization of America, Christian colonization of Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Delaware. We took a look at those particular places. Now I want to look at the colonization of Maryland. Perhaps you're living in Maryland and you'd be interested in learning about that history, because this is impactful to what we can do today. There are some applications. We need to learn from history, for fear that we do not learn and we repeat the same mistakes of history. Let's take a look at the colonization of Maryland. They began their colonial settlement in 1632 under the auspices of Lord Baltimore, a British nobleman and a Roman Catholic. His object was to people a territory with colonists of his own religious faith and to erect an asylum in North America for the Catholic religion. He obtained a charter from Charles I in which it was declared that the grantee was actuated by a laudable zeal for extending the Christian religion and the territory of the British Empire. And if any doubt should ever arise concerning the true meaning of the charter, there should be no construction of it derogatory to the Christian religion. Now, the first band of colonists there in Maryland consisted of 200 men of rank, led by Leonard Calvert, a brother of Lord Baltimore, that sailed from England in November of 1632 and landed on the coast of Maryland early in 1633. As soon as they landed, the governor erected a cross and took possession of the country, quote, "for our Lord Jesus Christ and for our sovereign Lord, the King of England," end quote. You see, religious toleration was from the beginning proclaimed as one of the fundamental laws of the colony. And that was impactful. Our current president thinks that our country began with Muslims and Jews and other religions, so they're all equal. Well, our country began with Christian liberty and Christianity. That's why the Constitution is so impacted with Christian moral values and virtues. That's why John Adams, our second president, said this Constitution was made for a moral, virtuous people. And if we are no longer moral and virtuous, this Constitution would be of none effect. We've lost that moral and virtue in our country. In 2014, our culture is shipwrecked. We've got to right the ship. That's why we call this righting the right. We've got to be involved in it ourselves. We, the people, are the only ones left to right this ship from an influential way. We can do it through the Convention of States. We could do it through local political activism, through the Tea Party groups in your locale. You can find out more about them by just putting in Googling Tea Party and then your city, state, or county. You could learn more on how you can get involved. If you don't get involved, the immoral, the unvirtuous will take us down a path that is frightening. It's already taken us down a progressive path of socialism, leading to communism in our country, and dictatorship and tyranny by the president with his fiats his czars unappointed by Congress, unapproved by our country's politicians, and in bed with Obama's strategy of making this an international world and him being almost like an international president, although he's inept at being our own president, let alone taking on international consequences. I got off on that just because of the colonization, as the colonists were there to bring about purpose for our Lord Jesus Christ and for our sovereign Lord, the King of England. That was their purpose. Christ would reign. We'll be back with more on the Glenn Pabst Show. Let's keep writing the right.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com. How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous.
More. Let the pounding of our hearts cry.
Welcome back to the Glenn Pav Show, 20 minutes after the hour here, and we're talking about the colonizations of some of our states and the great beginnings of the religious liberty and the freedoms that they wanted in the Lord Jesus Christ to establish religion and politics together and put religion as the freedom to continue to be in a religious realm in spite of the politics and the government that may come. Then we move on from the colonization of Maryland to the colonization of South Carolina. They began their colonial existence and history under the auspices of the Christian religion as well. In 1662, a company of immigrants, generally grandees of England and courtiers of Charles II, obtained a charter and settled in South Carolina. In the charter, it was stated that the colonists, quote, excited with a laudable and pious zeal for the propagation of the gospel, have begged a certain country in the parts of America not yet cultivated and planted and only inhabited by some barbarous people who have no knowledge of God, end quote. There was the frame of government formed by Locke. In 1669, a second charter was obtained, and the outlines of its government under the title of the Fundamental Constitution of Carolina was drawn up by John Locke, the great Christian philosopher, who declared that Christianity had God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. And it declared that along the way. In the terms of communion of every such church or profession, it was required that the three following articles should appear: that there is a God, that public worship is due from all men to this supreme being, and that every citizen shall, at the command of the civil magistrate, deliver judicial testimony with some form of words indicating a recognition of divine justice and human responsibility. In another of the articles of the Carolinas, of the Fundamental Constitution, it was declared that whenever the country should be sufficiently peopled and planted, the provincial parliament should enact regulation for the building of churches and the public maintenance of divines to be employed in the cause of religion according to the canons of the Church of England. Now let's move on to the colonization of North Carolina. From the beginning of her colonial history, laid the basis of her institutions on Christianity as well. The first permanent settlements were made by fugitives from Virginia who sought refuge from the rigid, intolerant laws of that colony, which bore so heavily on all that could not conform to the ceremonies of the established church. When the Puritans were driven from Virginia, some eminently pious people settled along the seaboard where they might be free from the oppression of intolerant laws and bigoted magistrates. In 1746 and 47, a large emigration of Scotch came into the colony of North Carolina. This Christian people, both in Scotland and this country, contended, quote, that obligation to God was above all human control, and for the government of their conscience in all matters of morality and religion, the Bible is the storehouse of information, end quote. The Scotch-Irish Presbyterians, who formed such a large proportion of the people of North Carolina and molded its religious and political character, were eminently pious and ardent lovers of liberty. Are you seeing a tremendous trend here with all of these colonizations that we talk about? The Bible was the basis for their institutions. The religious creed of these Christian immigrants formed a part of their politics so far as to lead them to decide that no law of human government ought to be tolerated in opposition to the expressed will of God. That's powerful, my friend. Their ideas of religious liberty have given a coloring to their political notions on all subjects. They have been, indeed, the foundation of their political creed. The Bible was their textbook on all subjects of importance, and their resistance to tyrants was inspired by the free principles which taught and enforced. Christian instruction to civil delegates were made. A political paper put out by the Mecklenburg County says that the people of North Carolina believed the Bible and from it drew their principles of morals, religion, and polities from it. Mecklenburg Convention of North Carolina convened in 1775. The convention was composed largely of Presbyterians, the most distinguished of whom were ministers. The delegates met in 1975 in May 15th, and during their sittings, news arrived of the Battle of Lexington. Every delegate felt the value and importance of the prize of liberty and the awesome and awful and solemn crisis which had arrived. Every bosom swelled with indignation at the malice and insatiable revenge developed in the late attack at Lexington. And after a full and free discussion of various objects, it was unanimously resolved thus far that we, the citizens of Mecklenburg County, do hereby dissolve the political bands which have connected us with the mother country, namely England, and hereby absolve ourselves from allegiance to the British Crown, and abjure all political connection, contract, and association with that nation which has wantonly trampled on our rights and liberties, and inhumanely shed the innocent blood of American patriots at Lexington. And be it further resolved that we do hereby declare ourselves a free and independent people, that we are, and of right ought to be, a sovereign and self-governing association, under the control of no power other than that of God and the general government of the Congress, to the maintenance of which independence we solemnly pledge to each other our mutual cooperation, our lives, our fortunes, and our most sacred honor. This Declaration of Independence, my friend, preceded the one made by Congress in 1776, more than a year ago, coming, and is a noble monument of the patriotism and piety of the people of North Carolina. The colony of North Carolina is particularly distinguished for the large number of able and patriotic ministers who were diligent laborers in the fields of intellectual and Christian culture and in sowing broadcast the seeds of liberty and of future independence. The annals of biblical learning and of freedom are adorned with the names of Campbell and Hall and Hunter and McAdam, Craighead, Alexander, McWhorter and McCain, Patil and others, who were master workmen in their department of Christian labor and ardent and fearless patriots. These men were the pioneers of freedom and independence, and in all the measures preparatory to the coming revolution, they were the foremost leaders. They were a part of the Black Robe Regiment. They wore black robes in the pulpit, and they're thus labeled the Black Robe Regiment when they worked in the Revolutionary Army under George Washington. The Black Robe Regiment of that day were chaplains for every regiment of George Washington's army because George Washington wanted it. And they ministered unto the warriors and the soldiers, wounded and strong alike. Today, I'm a member of the 21st Century Black Robe Regiment, seeking to do that same revival, seeking to bring out the truth of the patriotism and the Christian liberties that we need to retain before we lose them to a government of socialism. We'll talk about the colonization of Georgia and the lessons of the colonization of all of these. After we come back on the Glenn Pabb Show, let's keep writing the right.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
And now here's a look at the lighter side of politics with Jody Miller from News Busted.
Hey everybody, welcome to News Busted. I'm Jody Miller. Let's get started. Once again, many new polls show President Obama's approval rating at record lows. To give you an idea of how unpopular Obama is, his new Secret Service code name is Ebola. It's been learned that the second Ebola-infected nurse from Dallas contacted the CDC to ask if she could get on a plane with a fever, and she was given the green light. So it seems the CDC actually stands for Centers for Disease Circulation. Last week, President Obama canceled his appearance at a Democratic fundraiser in New Jersey, which appears to be the first action he's ever taken to get money out of politics. President Obama also called off a campaign rally for Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy. Naturally, the president was disappointed, but Governor Malloy was ecstatic. MSNBC had record low ratings last quarter, but the network remains dedicated to objective journalism, according to its program director, Barack Obama. In other cable television news, CNN has canceled the series Crossfire. Network executives made the decision after realizing the show was still on the air. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg has donated $25 million to the CDC to combat the spread of Ebola. So the next time you get caught using Facebook at work, you can tell your boss, "I'm not goofing off, I'm saving lives." And finally, an Alaskan motorist is recovering from injuries after he collided with a moose on the highway. Turns out the accident was not the man's fault. The moose was texting. Thanks for watching News Busted, everybody. I'm Jody Miller. Make sure you subscribe to our videos on YouTube. We'll catch you next time.
Well, that's a look at the lighter side of the news with Jody Miller of News Busted. Hello, my friend. I'm Glenn Pav of the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, heard weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You could also listen live on the web at writingtheright.com, spelled R-I-G-H-T both times. That's writingtheright.com. And join me this week with my guests and co-hosts. That's the Glenn Pav Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And folks, let's keep righting the right.
Righting.
I'll keep my freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too, try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change.
I will and welcome keep my to the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right. You can keep the change. We'll keep the Christian name. And we've gotten the Christian name through the colonization of the 13 original colonies. Let's take a look at the colonization of Georgia right now. Has a suggestive Christian history, James Oglethorpe, a member of the British Parliament, imbued with a philanthropic spirit of the gospel, obtained in 1732 a charter from George II to establish a colony in North America. He had in former years devoted himself to the benevolent work of relieving multitudes in England who were imprisoned for debt and suffering in loathsome jails. A worthy cause. Actuated by Christian motives, he desired to see these poor sufferers placed in an independent condition and projected a colony in America for that purpose. So in January of 1732, Oglethorpe, with 120 immigrants, landed in America and on the basis of the Christian religion, laid the future Commonwealth of Georgia. The Christian liberality and philanthropic work of the founder of the colony spread its fame far and wide. For it was announced that the rights of citizenship and all the immunities of the colony, quote, would be extended to all Protestant immigrants from any nation of Europe, desirous of refuge from persecution or willing to undertake the religious instruction of the Indians, end quote. The Moravians, or United Brethren, a denomination of Christians founded by Count Zinzendorf, a German nobleman of the 15th century, were invited to emigrate to the colony of Georgia as well. They accepted the invitation and arrived in the winter of 1736. Their object was to Christianize and convert the Indians and to aid in planting the institutions of the New World on the basis of Christianity. John Wesley exhibited the godly manner of the immigrants as well. He says, "Our common way of living was this: from four of the morning till five, each of us used private prayer. From 5 a.m. to 7, we read the Bible together, carefully comparing it that we might not lean to our own understanding with the writings of the earliest ages. At 8 a.m., we had public prayers. At 4 were the evening prayers, when either the second lesson was explained or the children were catechized and instructed before the congregation. From 5 to 6, we again used private prayer. At 7, I joined with the Germans in their public service. At 8, we met again to exhort and instruct one another. Between 9 and 10 p.m., we went to bed, where neither the roaring of the sea nor the motion of the ship could take away the refreshing sleep which God gave us." End quote. What a great day of worship from John Wesley's journal. What a Christian way of spending the time, huh? For immigrants sailing over the mighty deep to aid in founding a Christian empire on the shores of a new world. When these Christian immigrants touched the shore, their first act was to kneel and return thanks to God for their having safely arrived in Georgia. "Our end in leaving our native country," said they, "is not to gain riches and honor, but singly this, to live wholly to the glory of God." Their object was to make Georgia a religious colony, having no theory but devotion, no ambition but to quicken the sentiment of piety. Have you ever heard these historical remarks before? Will you ever hear them in revisionist history in our public schools today? Unfortunately, no. There was a great Christian element in Georgia, still is today. The Christian founder of the Commonwealth of Georgia carried his Christian principles into all the official transactions of the colony. Under the administration of Oglethorpe, the colony greatly prospered and increased in numbers. "His undertaking will succeed," said Johnson, governor of South Carolina, "for he nobly devotes all his powers to serve the poor and rescue them from wretchedness. He bears a great love to the servants and children of God," said the pastor of a Moravian church. "He is taking care of us to the utmost of his ability. God has so blessed us with his presence and his regulations in the land that others would not in many years have accomplished what he has brought about in one." And John Wesley established a school of 30 or 40 children and hired a teacher in which he designed to blend religious instruction with worldly wisdom. It was a Sunday school, if you will. And George Whitefield, a great evangelist, visited Georgia. He preached with wonderful eloquence and zeal. He labored with apostolic faith and perseverance in founding an orphan asylum, a Bethesda, a house of mercy for orphan children. God bless him for it. His fame and influence soon spread over the colonies, and whenever he went, tens of thousands of people hung with breathless interest on his preaching. The effect of Whitefield's preaching in Philadelphia, it seemed as if all of the world were growing religious, so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families in every street. "It is a matter of great interest," says the historian of Georgia, "that religion was planted with the first settlers, and that the English, the Salzburgers, the Moravians, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Israelites severally brought with them the ministers or the worship of their respective creeds. Georgia was a great example, and still can be today. There are lessons that we can glean from the colonization of the continent. These Christian facts in the colonial history of our country suggest the following lessons. The faith of the Puritans and of the founders of the various colonies in the divine origin and authority of civil government. They held firmly to the declarations of the Bible that there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And the doctrine of the divine origin of civil government led these Christian men to regard the civil ruler as the minister of God to the people for good, and that he that ruleth should rule in the fear of God. The first settlers, says Lord Brougham, of all the colonies, were men of irreproachable character. Many of them fled from persecution, others on account of honorable poverty, and all of them with their expectations limited to the prospect of a bare subsistence in freedom and peace. So one of the lessons is the lesson of faith of the Puritans and the founders of the various colonies in the divine origin and authority of civil government. A second lesson was the subordination of civil government to the power of the Christian religion, not the other way around, if you will. Not the other way around. They looked upon their commonwealths as institutions for the preservation of the churches, and the civil rulers as both members and fathers of them. Hence it was a favorite doctrine with the first settlers of the colonies of Massachusetts and Connecticut, for example, that all free men and civil rulers must be in communion with the churches and so promote the interest and spread of Christianity. So the subordination of civil government to the power of the Christian religion was another valuable lesson in the colonization of the continent. And a third one is this: the end and operations of civil government to propagate and subserve the Christian religion. Well, the moral to them was superior to the physical. The attainments of Christian wisdom and piety were above accumulations of worldly resources. The alliance of the soul with God through faith was above the conquest and mastery of nature. And the fourth, the position and influence of the ministers of the gospel in civil affairs of the state. They were consulted on all matters pertaining to the civil affairs of the New England colonies and had the controlling influence in forming and directing the civil government, these ministers of the gospel. These Black Robe Regiment members. Religion ruled the state through its ministers, my friends. The clergy were generally consulted on civil matters, and the suggestions they gave from the pulpit on election days and other special occasions were enacted into laws. They did not fear a 501c3 like our pastors many times do today. They do not fear the IRS or our government for preaching and teaching the moral values and virtues from the Word of God. Oh, my friend, let us remember these tremendous lessons and the positions of these Black Robe Regiment members of the gospel in civil affairs of the state, and let's revive those Black Robe Regiment members today.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pav, President and CEO of the Conservative Talk Network and the Glenn Pav Show. I've coined the phrase, righting the right, to encourage us to move our country back to the right of center on the political and moral spectrum. Each letter, R-I-G-H-T, explains our stance. The R stands for reformation, the I for integrity, the G for godliness, the H for honor, the T stands for truth. Truth can set you free, my friend. The truth is that the founders recognized God as the source of liberty and law. The truth is our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. The truth is, in the distant past, our presidents, Congress, and state and local officials have acknowledged God. The truth is, even the courts have declared that we are a Christian nation. The truth is, American schools were formed to advance the Christian faith. The truth is, foreign nations acknowledge our Christian roots and heritage. So let's live in light of this truth. The result is freedom. This is Glenn Pav of the Conservative Talk Network saying, with the truth, let's keep righting the right. Hello, my friend. I'm Glenn Pav of the Glenn Pav Show, Riding the Right. I find that if I help a senior citizen walk safely across the street at a busy intersection, I find myself safely across as well. So I endeavor to help those individuals and families that are willing to help themselves. I believe it is very important that you consider an investment alternative than the unstable dollar, namely gold in small amounts. I've discovered a win-win combination, safe investment in gold for you and your family, and helping support the Glenn Pav Show, Riding the Right, radio expansion. The plan is simple. Simply register for free on my website, writingtheright.com. Then discover what product or plan you and your family would like to invest in yourself. To learn more, go to writingtheright.com and click on the homepage icon, Gold Savings Club. It's free to join, so help support the radio show and take care of your family at the same time. It's a solid, golden opportunity. Count on it. Let's cross the street together.
The right, our last segment on the civil institutions of the United States, the Christian life and character of some of the great men who were colonizing America. There was remarkable prophecy of an English bishop that talked about these men and these colonies and their desires. Before the Declaration of Independence in 1776, the Bishop of St. Asaph in England published a discourse in which are found the following remarkable passages in reference to the North American colonies. The colonies in North America have not only taken root and acquired strength, he said, but seem hastening with an accelerated progress to such a powerful state as may introduce a new and important change in human affairs. Certainly, that was an understatement of the change in human affairs. This was the seed of our country. This was the core of the pure religious liberty fighting people all throughout the colonies. A new scene of providence opened in the settlement of America. John Adams, in contemplating the Christian colonization of the American continent, uttered the following view of the design of providence, capital P, standing for God. He said, I always considered the settlement of America with reverence and wonder as the opening of a grand scheme and design of providence for the illumination of the ignorant and the emancipation of the slavish part of mankind all over the earth. End quote. Yes, there were great statesmen of the Revolution. Their views of Christianity and its relations to civil society and government are just awesome. You need to know the kind of courage, the kind of character, the kind of Christian life these people exuded throughout the nation that was about to be born. It was a Christian settlement. It was these Christian statesmen in those settlements during the Revolution that made a great and grand difference. Wise and good men are God's workmen in laying the foundations and in completing the structures of human society. Every great and important era in history has been distinguished by the providential appearance and the successful labors of superior men whose minds have been illuminated and whose steps have been guided by divine wisdom and who have been given progress to the interests of liberty and religion. They were representative men, men of God, ordained and prepared for their special mission. I want you to think about some of these. Contemplate Moses, the man of providence whose wisdom and genius has molded the civil and religious institutions of all Christian nations. How about the Apostle Paul, whose Christian faith inspired writings and heroic life that have kindled the fires of freedom and truth among the nations of the earth and exerted a boundless influence upon the intellectual and spiritual elevation and regeneration of the world? What about Luther, who by his masterly intellect and genius has, with invincible Christian character and iron will and indomitable energy and richness of learning and earnest devotion to truth, liberated the human intellect from the shackles of ecclesiastical and civil despotism and put into ceaseless activity agencies and influences which are working out the emanation of nations and the moral regeneration of the world? About John Calvin, the profound thinker and theologian who infused enduring elements into the institutions of Geneva and made it for the modern world the impregnable fortress of popular freedom, the fertile seed plot of democracy. He spread the fires of freedom in Scotland and carried the seeds of civil liberty and revolution to New England. How about Wycliffe? John Wycliffe, the Oxford professor, the translator of the Bible into the English language. He planted the seeds of the English Reformation and started influences that resulted in Puritan emigration and the founding of a Christian nation on the American continent. By John Wesley, who by his practical wisdom and piety and his sanctified genius revived Christianity in earnest and put into intense and benevolent activity Christian and educational forces which are working effectually among the nations for their deliverance from error, ignorance, and despotism. And then we come to our shores with George Washington, the defender of his country, the founder of a Christian republic, whose fame and influence are as boundless as the world, and his great example, his illustrious life, his profound practical wisdom and unaffected piety have made him the ornament of the race and the benefactor of the world. These men were men of God, divinely endowed and prepared for their great Christian work in giving the blessings of civil and religious liberty to nations. The history of empires is indeed the history of men. Let's take a look at the views of these men of the Revolution and of the Christian religion. You see, the men of the revolution had been under the providence of God, trained and qualified for their great work. The Christian conflicts in Europe, antecedent to American colonization, their Christian ancestors who had established their civil and social institutions on the Bible, the Christian schools in which they had been educated, and the purity and manly vigor of the Christian faith which had formed their character and directed their conduct, these agencies had been at work to qualify the men who wrought the American Revolution. They instituted our present forms of civil government, an outline sketch of the faith and declaration of the men who founded our civil institutions in relation to the Christian religion and its necessity to civil government will now be discussed in brief. We'll share a few of these in this current edition of The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States, written by Benjamin Morris. There was James Otis of Massachusetts. He was among the first and foremost champions of freedom. Otis is a flame of fire, they said, referring to a speech he made in Boston in 1761 against the oppression of the British government. Otis said, "There can be no prescriptions old enough to supersede the law of nature and the grant of Almighty God, who has given all men a right to be free. Government springs from the necessities of our nature and has an everlasting foundation in the unchangeable will of God. The first principle and great end of government being to provide for the best good of all the people. This can be done only by a supreme legislature and executive, ultimately in the people or the whole community where God has placed it." He concludes with, "The right of every man to his life, his liberty, no created being can rightfully contest. They are rights derived from the author of nature, inherent, inalienable, indefeasible by any law, compacts, contracts, covenants, or stipulations which man can even devise. God made all men naturally equal." James Otis. And in our continued study later on this week, we'll talk about more of these wonderful views of the men of the revolution of the Christian religion. Thank you for joining me today on the Glenn Pabb Show. Join me tomorrow with our special author and co-host, Frank Mitchell, of the story of Western philosophy on religion and politics and what we could do and how we could make a new beginning. And then on the Constitution, on Wednesday, the making of America. On Thursday, on finances, Dr. Kirk Elliott with a financial look ahead. And then we'll continue with our history, Christian life and character study of the civil institutions of America. Until then, on behalf of our expert co-hosts, our faithful sponsors, and engineer Sam, this is your patriot host, Glenn Pav, saying to my bride of 38 years, to Melanie, and to you, my listening friend, God bless you. Keep writing the right. May God bless America. May America bless God. And by all means, may God save you.
If you'd like to learn more about Writing the Right and the Glenn Pav Show, go to writingtheright.com. Join us every weekday on the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Remember to download the podcast at writingtheright.com. Until then, this is Glenn Pav, your patriot host, saying, keep writing the right. Oh!